John Huston, as a matter of fact, would have been 100 years old today. He died in 1987. For most of his long life, John Huston was nearly always in front of or behind a camera. In the 1948 film Treasure of the Sierra Madre, he directed his actor, father, Walter Huston, to an Academy Award. 37 years later, he did the same for his daughter, Angelica, in the mob comedy Prizzi's Honor. John Huston was himself a gifted actor and appeared in scores of pictures. Pat Dahl reports on the long and varied career of a filmmaker who was as famous for his life off the screen as for his work on it.
Over a 50-year career, John Huston received 14 Oscar nominations for writing, directing, and acting. He made movies that ranged from The Maltese Falcon to Moby Dick to the musical Annie. Given that variety, historians have long debated whether he directed with a consistent style or theme. He told NPR in 1975 he didn't.
I find each experience entirely different, so that I can't compare even one picture to another. I approach each picture as though it was the first one I ever did.
The first one he directed was a stylish, cynical version of Dashiell Hammett's hard-boiled detective story, The Maltese Falcon. It's sometimes called the first film noir, and helped propel Humphrey Bogart to stardom.
I hope they don't hang you, Precious, for that sweet neck.
You're not...
Yes, Angel, I'm going to send you over. The chances are you'll get off with life. That means if you're a good girl, you'll be out in 20 years. I'll be waiting for you. If they hang you, I'll always remember you.
The 1941 film earned its fledgling director an Oscar nomination for screenwriting. After a rootless life, he'd settled down in Hollywood. The son of famous actor Walter Huston, John had been briefly an actor, a professional boxer, a street singer, and a painter. He was one of the few Hollywood screenwriters to make the transition to directing. He made documentaries for the Army during World War II, and after the war, his fiction films explored the subject of men under tremendous stress and the tension between the individual and the group. That's the theme of The Treasure of the Sierra Madre, in which Walter Huston is the voice of wisdom after greedy, desperate prospectors see their gold dust blow away in the wind.
Oh, laugh, Curtin, old boy. It's a great joke played on us by the Lord or fate or nature, whatever you prefer. But whoever or whatever played it certainly had a sense of humor. The gold has gone back to where we found it.
Director John Huston's films were often serious explorations of the human condition, says Ron Magliozzi, a curator at the Museum of Modern Art, where a tribute to the work of all of the Hustons begins later this month. Magliozzi says John Huston was also serious about conveying the authenticity of his stories. He often shot on location.
He's not a factory town man. He was not a soundstage studio filmmaker, even though he excelled in the soundstage. He wasn't a filmmaker who sat still waiting for the next studio project to be handed to him. He was attracted to far-flung locations and the nitty-gritty of these locations, to the visual and dramatic possibilities of staging scripts under the pressure of conditions on location.
Huston shot movies in Africa, Mexico, Ireland, and on the open sea. His adventures on location fueled an off-screen legend that was further amplified by multiple marriages, public brawls, and enthusiastic bouts with alcohol, says Magliozzi. And John Huston loved to spin a good yarn, as he did on NPR in 1985, talking about the African Queen and how he hired a local hunter to keep meat on the table for the cast and the crew.
Just a day or so before the actual shooting began, a company of soldiers came into camp and arrested our black hunter, and we didn't know why. Marched him off. And then it was discovered. We found out why they'd taken him. Villagers had been missing. The scarcity of game was being made up with human flesh, better known as long pig.
Huston's larger-than-life personality was accompanied by a volatile temper. Still, people clamored to work for him. One was a young science fiction writer named Ray Bradbury, who was hired in 1953 to adapt Herman Melville's Moby Dick. Huston left the shy young writer alone to work, but they still nearly came to blows, although Bradbury denies he actually struck Huston, as eyewitnesses have reported.
No. He was on the verge of sacking me. But at the last moment, he didn't do it because I yelled at him. I said, if you're going to hit me, fire me first. And he knew that I had 3 more weeks' work on the screenplay, and he couldn't very well fire me, so he didn't hit me.
The writer and the director made up, however.
Every once in a while, he would turn to me and say, Ray, You know, the problem with us is you don't love me half as much as I love you. I said, John, you're drunk, and I'm drunk, so what the hell? I love you, and you love me.
The star of Moby Dick, Gregory Peck, once said that Huston was not the kind of director who would help an actor find a performance. Instead, Huston said he relied on casting the right performer.
I direct as little as possible because I want what the artist can give me rather than to see what I can give the artist. This makes for an added richness to the picture. The artist, if he's let alone and encouraged, presently begins to flourish and does come into his own and gives you something that you could never give him.
Huston was not always encouraging. His daughter Angelica says he was short-tempered and impatient when he directed her at age 15 in A Walk with Love and Death, but he directed her again to a 1985 Oscar in Pritzi's Honor as the wayward mob daughter whose boldness surprises the men in her life.
You want to do it, Charlie? Is that what you want?
Whoa. Take it easy. What the hell, May?
Nobody took it slower than me, Charlie. 4 years. Answer the question. You want to do it?
Tough Cookies appealed to John Huston, and he played them more than once. He was often cast as a devouring father. In Chinatown, Jack Nicholson's detective uncovers a cynical tycoon's secrets of incest and murder.
Now, where's the girl? I want the only daughter I've got left. As you found out, Evelyn was lost to me a long time ago.
Who do you blame for that, her?
I don't blame myself. See, Mr. Gitz, most people never have to face the fact that at the right time and the right place, they're capable of anything.
He was capable of that character. He understood that character.
Angelica Huston.
My father could be very frightening in life. He was capable of extremely big moments. And that is a movie, actually, in which, you know, I recognize some of his rage. And his rage was pretty terrifying.
Angelica Huston thinks her father's recognition of and empathy with the extremes of human nature will endure as his legacy.
His eclecticism was so fantastic to see all of these movies together and realize that he was the nucleus of all of them, and his extraordinary kind of love for humanity and with all its flaws and all its brilliance. I miss him terribly for that kind of sensibility and that fantastic understanding he had of people and human situations and human foibles.
Perhaps that is John Huston's great subject, after all. Human weakness, human resilience, whatever it is that makes people chase misguided dreams to certain failure and then get up to pursue the next treasure, the authentic falcon, the great white whale, again. For NPR News, this is Pat Dowell.
John Huston had an ear for great dialogue. You can take a quiz on quotes from his movies at our website, npr.org.